Remember to leave comments when we listen to your share, when we download it?
I believe on YouTube.
On YouTube, yeah.
Are there comments on that too?
On YouTube?
No.
No comments? Nobody's left a comment?
Yeah. No, it's an order view.
It's a female cast.
It's not true. People review them.
YouTube link. They just stream it on the site.
People thumbs up it, but I don't know. Could be the yeshiva has a close to comments.
And like what?
Also, even if they didn't close the comments, most people probably just watch it straight on the yeshiva website, not going to YouTube.
So we should all go in and give it a thumbs up so it gets a higher rating.
Actually, I watched it on YouTube last week.
You get enough people giving the rating, they might offer you money for putting it out.
Okay.
I already knew that.
Good morning. Good morning. So we have an exciting share again today. And truly, these things are siyata d'shmaya. The fact that some share about the halachic ramifications of digging tunnels somehow went viral. I don't know why.
And this is like, well, yeah,
last week's share.
Hamas was walking in.
Yeah, last week's share was quite fascinating. We got a lot of feedback, positive feedback on it. So I hope I wasn't foolish in picking this week's topic, but the topic for today, we entitled the share, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, Hashem watches over the fools.
Tipshin.
And we'd like to give practical applications of this concept here in this week's share. Okay, everyone's taking these things. The other week, I was in Miami Beach, and I was speaking in a shul, and the Rav was there. So I was making a point of, I was using the example of Moshe Rabbeinu's Chamor, how the Torah changed the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu really traveled on a Chamor down to Mitzrayim. Well, that was one of the things Gemara Megillah says, that the Chacham, when they put them in all those separate rooms, and they translated the Torah, they took out all the psukim that were, they changed all the psukim that would be questionable to Judaism. For example, first words in the Torah, Bereshit Bara Elokim. Literally translated, Bereshit created Hashem. So they changed it to, you know, Alkim bar Bereshis, Hashem created the beginning. Nasa Adam, let us make man. Also there.
This is the Septuagint.
Correct, correct. So the Gemara Megillah goes through all the different psukim they changed. Amongst one of them was the pasuk in last week's parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Mitzrayim with his family. I'm a donkey. And they changed it. Gemara says, Lashon Nosim in the Adam, it means a camel. Why they change it? Because can you imagine the leader of the Jewish people? The man's going to perform all the great miracles, and he's just driving an old Camry? It's got to be nothing less than a Lexus.
You mean a Chevy.
Right? Lemaisa, the perception of the difference between what, you know, yes, our leaders don't have to have a posture of wealth and power. You know, it comes from the Torah that they have. So I was saying that about, you know, they recently the shul chose a Rav. I said they chose Rav wisely. So the Rav is sitting right next to me. He's like, oh, so you compare me to Chamor. I'm like, I wasn't expecting that one.
I mean, I guess that really proves your point.
So it sounds like the audience here feels if I'm giving a share about Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, somehow it's about them. Hashem watches over the fools. People think I'm talking about them. So please, I'm having this bad streak. Don't think the subjects of my comments are exactly that. What can I do? But I think this is a very, very interesting topic. And I'll first introduce it with really a synopsis of a shiur that I listened to from Roy Sharfman. If you go to the yeshiva's list of shiurim, the first recorded shiur of the Rise and Learning shiur is not Ryzen Learning share number one.
Ryzen Learning?
This share, which is entitled the Ryzen Learn share program every Sunday morning, the like Sunday morning halacha shirim.
It's like the Talmud, it begins with two.
Right. The first share you'll find on the website is share number two. What happened to share number one? You got to ask Harvey. I like Ed's answer that Gemara starts on page two. Right? Which the idea they say behind that, why does the Gemara start? The first daf is daf beis.
Positive reinforcement.
Right? Well, I see that feeling really quick. But I learned way back in yeshiva that my Rebbe said, the reason why we start in Daf Beis is to show when it comes to Gemara, don't think you ever mastered it. You always miss something, even from the beginning. So, yeah, that could be on the Shirim, but Shir number two, first one you find there, I forgot the exact title. But basically, Sharfin talked about cosmetic surgery, bungee jumping, all different types of situations where a person might put himself into sakana. It's called number two. When a person might put himself into sakana, that is potentially an issue. And these things are quite popular, right? I assume if you check just even here in Florida, how many planes you could parachute out of. You know, you could probably have a smorgasbord of lists, you know, for sure, going to drive a little bit.
People pay good money to do that.
Yeah. Skydiving, bungee jumping. There are a lot of thrills. A lot of thrills that people are into. And yes. So
this is a very sedate person.
This might touch on the topic. Now, really, what I want to do in today's share is speak about one aspect, this concept of Shomer B'Sayim Hashem. Just to give you a little synopsis of what Ray Sharfman came out with, I thought it was very interesting. He told a story, you might remember the story, that he got himself, quote-unquote, a new van, and that entailed one of his relatives driving that van from New York to Florida. Person comes in, brings a new van, the whole family's all excited, drops in the keys. He's like, it drives very well. I have to warn you, if you go over 100, it starts to shake. So Ray Sharfman said he never had that problem. It drove so easily, smoothly. Yeah, he never went over 100. But he discussed that as halakhically. Is that safe? Is that smart? Or is that foolish to be driving triple digits?
It's
especially
illegal.
Oh, shit. Our lawyer over here?
That's a different
year. Yes?
We already covered that.
And Rabbi Sharfman brought up, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that talks about if a person puts himself in a dangerous situation, so it takes away potentially from a person's merits, from his chosim. And Rabbi Sharfman warned very well, you know, if you make too many withdrawals, excuse my example, if your wife spends too much on the credit card, at the end of the month, you'll get a statement. And the statement will show you what happened. It doesn't work that way up there. At least down here. Maybe up there.
You can blame our wife.
Right? That's definitely a good excuse. But if a person puts himself in a dangerous situation, you don't get a monthly statement, oh, you just lost out the scar of a year's worth of Shabbosim, Shmir Shabbos. Doesn't work like that. So obviously, a person has to be careful about these things and see what they can do to avoid such situations. That was in general by Sharfman's share. Someone before that, the share, sent me a message that they remembered some story. What was it?
People asked about crossing the street when traffic is at a complete standstill and walking in between
right.
The other cars.
That sounds relatively benign. The case was what you call, I think they call that over here too, in New York, they call it jaywalking, which technically you can get tickets for. I actually saw they just put up new signage here on Miami Gardens Drive, and one of the signs they put up is no jaywalking. I saw that.
Where?
Yeah, over here, on the median. on Land Barnes Drive.
Who would do that? Huh? Take us
not Yeshiva.
I think the authorities.
But, yeah. So, that seemingly is, okay, it's the law, and it's definitely advisable in many situations not to do that, but to say that that's, you know, dangerous and takes away from a person's merits, definitely not so simple to say. That was such a quote, supposedly said. Okay. So what I want to do today is I want to analyze one Gemara in particular about how the Gemara applies the concept of putting oneself in the sakana versus a concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem watches over the fools. And I think it might have very interesting, you know, and try to get to Ramosha Feinstein as a whole tshuva, really based on this idea. Now, my quick perusal and research found there's about three or four Gemaras in Shas, which talk about the concept called Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem watches over the fools. There's a Gemara later in Yevamos that talks about that a bris milah, when a child has a bris, again, I can't vouch for the scientific data behind this. I'm telling you just what the Gemara says, that there'd be part of what helps a child recover is certain winds, which are normally in the world, and they have a positive effect.
Winds.
To the extent, the Gemara says, all the years the Jews are in the Midbar, where there weren't those winds, they didn't. That's why they didn't have a bris. That's why they didn't bring Korban Pesach, because they didn't have that situation. So the Gemara discusses what happens if you know those winds are not around in the world, that's in times of the Gemara, if they still have a bris. And the Gemara relies on Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem watches over people. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that talks about bloodletting, which was a common medical procedure people had in times of the Gemara. And the Gemara talks about there are some days, since it carries with it a certain risk, Gemara talked about doing it on Mondays and Thursdays, which are days of more rachamim. So the Gemara has a discussion, what about doing an Erev Shabbos? Sounds like, you know, that'll be a good way to go into Shabbos. You know, some people go to, you know, the mikvah, the shvitz, and in the olden days, people got bloodletting. So it's not one of the days that's viewed as safe for bloodletting, according to Gemara. So Gemara says, don't worry about it. Even a lot of people do it. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Once again, Hashem watches over people. The third concept, which we're going to talk about, is the Gemara here in Yevamos. It really talks about birth control. A very interesting discussion. If you look on your sheets, Gemara begins like six lines from the top. Tani Rabibi Kamei Derev Nachman. There are three women that are allowed to use some type of female, some type of birth control. Now, I'm going to get to in a moment what exactly that is. But the Gemara says three women are allowed to use it. Ktana, Muberes, Minika. Ktana, the Gemara will define what that means in a moment, how old. Muberes, pregnant lady. And Minika, a nursing lady. The Gemara says Ktana, Shemitis Aver, Shema Thomas. The Gemara says, if we're dealing with a young girl, if she would become pregnant, perhaps that pregnancy could kill her. Muberes, a pregnant woman, Shema Tasa Uver Sandal. The Gemara talks about a concept that a woman who's already pregnant, there was a fear, at least in the times of the Gemara, that if the husband and wife had relations post that, they create another potential embryo, which would deform the first child already in there. Now, from current science, we don't know of such a thing being able to happen, but this is one of those Gemaras where they have discussions, how do you put together the modern science together with the Gemara's perspective? One of the simplest answers they give is the Gemara's writing based on the scientific understanding they had at that time. The Gemara brings a third case, Minika, Shematigmos Benav Yamas. In those days, they didn't have formula. So if a woman would get pregnant after, while she's nursing, It could be the child that she's nursing won't have enough milk, won't have enough food, and the child could die. So all of these three are three exceptions where the Rabbanim would allow for birth control. But aside from that, not. The Gemara just then defines the Ezi Ketana, Yibas Yiraf Shanim Yom Echad, Adi Beishana. It's a period really of 1 year, from 11 to 12. Pachas Mikan, Viosarakan, and Shemesh Mikadarka Valchos. Less than that, more than that, you don't have to worry about it. Divrei Meir. Basically, the understanding by Ketana is less than 11, she wouldn't get pregnant, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. And above 12, we would think that her body's strong enough to keep a pregnancy that we wouldn't jeopardize her. But within that period, the Gemara says, between 11 and 12, that's where there's this issue which would allow for birth control. Now, the Gemara says, okay, I'll stop here for a moment. What exactly is the birth control? Very interesting, major machlokas, Rashi and Tosis. Rashi understands that the concept of a moch, literally, I think one of my guys looked it up, you know, I think art school translated as a cotton swab. You know, Gemara's time is a little more primitive. So it was something that a woman put inside her to prevent herself from getting pregnant. That's the definition according to Rashi. And what that would mean, the way Rashi understands the Gemara, is all women besides these three women would be prohibited for them to use birth control. Only these three we would allow. And the issue involving birth control, which is a major issue which is discussed by the poskim, is the concept of hashchas zera, that a man normally can't waste his zera. And the Torah here would allow for these three women, since there's a sakana involved, that they'll be okay to use such a form. Tosos disagrees. Tosos says, that sounds like you're really treading on dangerous waters. This is an Isser of Hashchas Zera, using such a form of birth control. So Tosos says, the case is they had regular tashmish, nothing there. Afterwards, the woman wiped away the Zera. That's what we're using a moch for. What I call plan B. That's the case we're talking about. Now, the way Tosas understands it is that it would be really permitted for everybody. Halacha l'maaseh, we don't pass them like this. Tosas' perspective is really that it would be permitted for everybody. Just here, these three women, it's an obligation to do that. That's how Tosas learned. Really, Tosas is based on the fact that he holds a woman doesn't have an isser. She doesn't have, if she would just wipe away by her, that's not any violation, because Tosas understands that the Isser of Hashchas Zera is dependent on the mitzvah of Peruvu. And since she doesn't have a mitzvah of Peruvu, the mitzvah of having children is on the man, easy to say, he doesn't have to carry the baby for 9 months, but the Torah's perspective is the mitzvah is on the man, so the Isser of Hashchas Zera is tied to that. So therefore, there'd be nothing wrong with a woman, plan B, getting rid of the Zera. And Tosas reads the Gemara that these three women have to do this.
Isn't that still wasting the Zera?
So from both perspectives, Tosas looks at it. The man, look what he did. He did a normal action. He didn't do anything wrong. The woman is disposing of it, but she doesn't have an Isser on that. The Isser of Hashchas Zera, according to Tosos, is tied together with the mitzvah of Peruvu. So if she doesn't have Peruvu, she doesn't have an Isser of Hashchas Zera. Fascinating. Now, that's the background of the Gemara. One more step. Comes along the Chachamim, last lines in the Gemara. Chachamim Omrim, Achazu V'Achazu. All these cases, a regular woman, one of these three women, Mishamesh is Kedarka V'Holchos. No, they have regular relations. U'min HaShemayim Yirachmu. And min HaShemayim, they have Rachmanos on her, that she won't become pregnant. Mishum Shenemar, Shomer Pisayim HaShem. Hashem watches over people. Okay, that's the Gemara. I found the Ritva on this Gemara. There's a similar, another Rishon, Ra'ah and Ksubas. Ask a very strong question. According to Remer, Remer would say there's permissibility, according to Rashi, or even more so, there's an obligation, according to Tosas, for a person to use birth control by these three women. Comes a Chachamin, the Chachamin say, you know what?
Nourishment.
Don't do it. Do not use it, seemingly. Rely on Hashem. Ask the Ritva, where do we find such a thing in Yiddishkeit? One of the most basic principles is the concept of hishtaplus, that a person has to do things. You can't just say, oh, I rely on Hashem. Shomer b'zayim Hashem. Here, the Gemara sounds like even l'chachila, even first choice. Just sit back. Don't do anything. Hashem will take care. Isn't one of the basic concepts we know is a person has to do their hishtaplus. So if you have a situation over here, which is a potential sakana, so Rav Meir says, okay, we have a plan. Either plan A or plan B, but we have a plan. Chacham say, forget about it. You don't need a plan. I'll take care. Seems to go against everything we know. Yes?
Talking about two totally different things. Ravidi is talking about three different women who maybe have a situation of succumbs to fascios. Psyim are just people who do stupid things, foolish things.
Yeah,
different things.
The Gemara is quoting that pasuk. You're right. Right? What's being brought up is I was careful when I translated last. I didn't use the word fools because I wouldn't necessarily call these people foolish. Right? This is a regular married couple. It happens to be they're pregnant. Fine, so it'll be dangerous. She's nursing, it'll be dangerous. She's a Tana, assuming that's allowed, right?
And therefore there's a whole separate genre of halacha for people who are in Sakana.
So the Gemara is using a different terminology. Gemara is not just saying Bikuach Nefesh is Docha. The Gemara here is using a concept of Shomer B'Sayim Hashem, which says Hashem watches the fools and everyone below that, or above that, whichever way you categorize it.
So in other words, you're saying if Hashem is watching out for people who do reckless things,
certainly,
Shikins,
correct, correct. But the Ritva's question is a very strong question. How do you understand what's going on over here? What about Hishtaplus? So the Ritva personally gives an answer which needs more explanation. He says, oh, this is a proof. You have to go, the Ritva goes like Tosos versus Rashi, that on a plan B birth control, there we said it's permitted for everyone to use. Just the Remeir is saying it's an obligation for these three people to do it. To which the Chacham would be arguing on that basis. Chacham are saying, look, of course we understand you could use birth control. No, you could. The question is, am I obligated to do that? So Rav Meir said, yeah, sure, you're obligated. Because these three people have sakana. To which you're going to, the Chacham are going to argue back, no. You could if you want. But you know what? You could also rely on Hashem. You have two choices. That answers the question, but simply not fully, because the Gemara is still saying, L'chachila, you're allowed to do this. How do you understand that? So what I found some of Farshim speak out in this Gemara is you have to add one other point to the equation. Chari, you have to say it. Is that the chashashim the Gemara was talking about, the chashash sakana, is a relatively small chashash. There's a small chance. So in a situation where there's a small chance of something going wrong, that's where you can have a debate. Let's say in the Ritva's world. But there's a small chance something's going to go wrong. Do you still say, okay, but you must take preventive action? You must use birth control? That's the opinion of Remeir. Well, the Chachamim is saying, no. If there's a small chance of something going wrong, Shomer B'Sayim Hashem, you could go about your business without doing that. That would be, I believe, the way most people explain the Ritva, explain this Gemara. Yes.
How would you define a small chance? Less than 50%?
That's an excellent question. And I think that's the big deal. So I want to go through Moshe Feinstein. And I think in this particular case, sometimes I'll quote line for line, you know, different parts out. I think it's very kedai to read this whole piece. Fascinating, and you get appreciation of Moshe Feinstein. Look, we'll see by the time he finishes tshuva if I could explain it or not. I'm not sure. But it's always good when you see a question posed, you start from the top. Yisrachak Shvuas Tavshin Mem Aleph. What year is that? Basically 1979, 1980. Yeah. So this is going back quite a few years ago, over 40 years ago. He writes this, Yedidi HaNichva Ma'od Ben Torah V'Yerushamayim Be'emes, a true Ben Torah and Yerushamayim, Dr. Meir Rosner. Okay, and the question posed, is there an Isser to smoke cigarettes? That was a question posed over 40 years ago to Moshe Feinstein. Now look how he deals with such a question.
He's asking Bahla. He's not asking.
Correct. He's asking in general, is there an Isser for a Jew to smoke a cigarette? In modern terms, to vape. So, okay. Now, before we even begin doing the tshuva, I'll give them this the big disclaimer. Being the fact that this tshuva was written over 40 years ago, obviously the data and the science that we know today is different than 40 years ago. Right? The same way in the Gemara itself, we talked about, okay, it could be the science changed in the times of the Gemara. We could apply the same logic potentially to this tshuva. Things have changed. And I have heard quotes from Moshe's children, what Moshe would say if he was asked a question today. But let's first read this fundamental piece. He says, Hine litin klal lahada amru shomer pesayim Hashem. I want to give a general rule to that which the Gemara says, Shomer pesayim Hashem. Exactly what we're learning. He quotes Gemara Shabbos and Nida. The Gemara Nida is the same Gemara, basically, as we have in Yevamos. He writes, V'shnei dvarim she'ika behem chashash sakanta v'lo zihir bo. So he paraphrases these Gemaras are cases where there's a chashash sakana. In general, people, for sure, the Gemara and Shabbos talked about, yeah, people do bloodletting on Friday. Not, you know, they'll, it's Dosh Bei Rabin. People are involved in doing it. So that's how he grips the situation. Av Shavari Bistam Chashash Lakana. Also, Lismuch Al Zeh. Normally, when there's a chashash of something bad happening to a person, you can't rely on this. Av Yuzamikai Gavna B'davar Shish Bo Chashash Lakana. Let's say there's something that's really dangerous. Just people don't care about it. So Moshe says, it's not so simple just to rely. Look, people don't care about it. It's something dangerous. People just don't care. Near Poshet, to be dovered the Iker Harbe Shlokasha Ulul Priusum, Klum, something which for many people, it doesn't hurt them at all. Now look at his examples. Kigon Harbe Mine Ochlim, She'in She'inen, Nenemem Bioser, Kibasa Shmena, like nice fat meat, Dvarm Kharif and Vyofer, things which are very sharp. We know a good corned beef sandwich could do some trouble inside. So what do we say about that? There is no iser to eat those foods because of a chashash sakana. Most people don't die from this. And not sakana from this. Right? I was recently in someone's house for Shabbos. The person happened to be a cancer doctor. So you couldn't find soda in their house. So my wife said, yeah, you know, they're convinced that soda is dangerous. They won't keep that. You know, I would say, or Moshe's application to, from fatty meats, I don't think soda is worse than fatty meats, unless someone can show me data. But yeah, the same thing, like, it's very hard to put an iser on foods, because, okay, you have theories, there are ideas, You know, by fatty meats, I'm sure there's more than theories, there's data. People die from these things. But at the same time, Rav Moshe says, it's hard to say there's an iser to eat it. And then he brings the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, talks about in Yoni Ochel Mashkem Atovim Brios Aguf. The Rambam talks about things which are good for a person's body, while Ramu Brios Aguf. So, modern times, I think I've seen some English books where people write whole, you know, nutrition theories based on the Rambam. I wonder if they saw this tshuva. Rav Moshe goes and analyzes the Rambam. He writes, "Lo kasha belosin iser lo mederaisa lo medabanam sham also chachamim kidekasev basar's nixul he's basar going to zafashos helchas ratzeach." He says, "Look at the Rambam's language." Yeah, those Rosh Hativas are Perak Yud Aleph Helchas Ratzeach Halacha Dalet. That he says the Rambam is very exact in his language. He doesn't say anything over there when he talks about the foods you shouldn't eat. The Rambam gives a whole, you know, nutritional advice. Where Moshe takes it just as that. It's just advice. This is not an Issa D'Oraisa. This is not an Issa D'Rabbanan. That's how you read these things. And normally with this Chashas Sakana, the rabbis answer these things. Fine. I'm skipping towards the top of the next page. Coffees, right? I'll start from the end of the first line. V'hum yishum da'al kol d'var me'ila shepard osam lo shaykh lo osam mamish. The Rambam can't answer all these foods that he speaks negatively against. Me'achad arvot me'am in yanei hanahein. Most of them, okay, it's just pleasurable foods, ruba the inchi, and most people, lo mazak lo klum, doesn't damage them, doesn't hurt them. Vika harbi mehem, she efshar la hizar, lo harbi inchi, she treated panasasam. Right? This is practically, there's so many people, you know, if you're stuck traveling, you have to buy packaged meals, which are full of sodium. If you're, he gives another case, let's say a person's a poor person, you eat what you get. You can't be so picky. I'm on the, you know, carbs, gluten, diet. Yeah, sorry, buddy. Doesn't work. Now, skipping to right by the period, parallel to the beginning of the tshuva on the other side. Okay? So far, in terms of food, he for sure says these things aren't usher, and these things you would have the concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem watches over people. You can eat it. Now, if your doctor tells you, okay, your health is bad and you shouldn't have X, Y, and Z food, that's different. That's not what Moshe is talking about. What Moshe is talking about, in general, do I have to refrain from these foods because there's a chance something bad might happen. However, Dorm Ge'ila, Dami Ishan's cigarettes. To cases like this, that's what I compare cigarettes to. People get pleasure from it. Ma'od. Umitzarin, kishain cigarettes. Odios mechazar mini ochim tovim. People who miss their cigarettes, they miss it more than missing out on good food. Obviously, emotions already hitting to the element that cigarettes were addictive. I don't know that 40 years ago they knew exactly how addictive. They definitely, that was pre the lawsuits that proved how addictive they were. The Moshe's writing, important line, 40 years ago, again, provided with the data that he got from people, is the effects of cigarettes was still viewed as a miyat kata. The kosher in lichlos mizeh besartin to get cancer. Of old machlos misukanos who kata biyoser. And he says the af that you, Dr. Rosner, were a harbi cholin. He says, okay, look, you're a doctor. You're working in the hospitals. And you're seeing every day, of course, people with throat cancer and lung cancer. And he says, not just in your hospital, I'm sure it's true in all the other hospitals, there are many people sick with cancer. Makomot Amarin, the last four lines of that paragraph. If you take together all the people currently in the hospital sick for cancer, sick for over cigarettes, and even all the people who haven't come to the doctor, who if you measure the numbers from everyone in the world, that would still halachically qualify as a miyut, as a minority. And a chash like that, a small number, we would say this concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Now, what he sounds like he's saying here is pretty, pretty major. That, now, again, we could debate even back then what exactly the numbers were. That was one of the things I actually wanted to do. Had a chance to do the share prep is a source of people here might have easier access to find them. I'm sure I didn't intend to find them. What were this again? 1979, 1980, 81. But the question is, halakhically speaking, what were the numbers? Rav Moshe views that as a miyut. Halakhically speaking, that's a miyut. Well, how exactly the numbers? Let's say the numbers were 10% of people that smoke die from smoking. That's a miyut. 10% is a miyut. And to say that everyone is us or from that, what's the numbers of people that die from red meat? Probably not 10%. I don't know. Probably less than that. But halakhically, that would fit into the same category that, look, different things affect people's bodies differently. There are overriding factors. People can have schusim. Okay. That's really Rabbi Sharfman saying, don't put yourself in a makom sakana. But Rav Moshe, at least on the data that it was said then, viewed this as a concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem.
Why would you say it's not a need?
Yeah, so very good question. The question was asked, when would Rav Moshe say it's not a need? So I have heard B'shem Rav Moshe Feinstein's sons, including Reuven Feinstein Shlita, that today Rav Moshe would say it's Aser, flat out, because of the numbers. So I don't know that difference in numbers. I can't speak from a medical perspective exactly what switched in the understanding of the stats of people dying from smoking. But I have heard that the numbers changed enough. The family feels emotion would say different today. But I'll take questions in a moment. But the point I'm bringing out from here is as long as something is what you would classify as a miyut, then you apply the concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. That is the understanding that we walked away from the Gemara. It's pretty cool. That's the way we understood the Gemara. How does Chachamim come out and say, don't involve yourself in birth control? Rely on Hashem. Sounds like even with Chachila. Teretz is, it has to come with the fact there's a miyut. You could rely, if the sakana itself was only limited to being a small amount, there is a concept showing for Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Now let me just read one more step, and then I'll take questions. He writes, Avavadim in a right, l'chol ish v'prat l'nei Torah. Don't think this is the end of what Moshe says. To all people, and specifically b'nei Torah, sholashon, people should not smoke. He plays both sides. There still is a chash. You shouldn't do such a thing. It's not even a hanav for people to start. And this is the dekami. But once you started, okay, there's a hanav, and it's very hard to hold back from it. But to start, right now there's no hanav. You're coughing the first 10 times. A person shouldn't get involved in this. Don't let young kids get involved in this. Even if you yourself are a smoker, Moshe says, even if you put aside the sakana, you still shouldn't do it. because you're indulging in a certain addictive type of behavior. Signed, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yes.
I believe this may have been the tshuva, and I heard this from somebody who knew, it may have been Mordechai Tendler, but I'm not sure, who said that he really he wanted to also smoking. He knew that it was dangerous, like the last paragraph says, but he didn't because he knew that, as he referenced above, he knew it was addictive also. He knew that people wouldn't stop smoking just because he said so, and all that he would do was create a new category of what they were doing.
Yes, that could be. No, it's really these Gemaras themselves, the starting point for the, especially that Gemara I mentioned about bloodletting, Gemara and Shabbos, is there was a situation where people were doing it anyway. It was Dosh
Be'Rabim. What does that mean, bloodletting? I can't picture what it is.
Bloodletting?
Basically, giving you drain some blood.
You see these leeches.
Yes. They thought it was healthy. Right? But these situations are, you know, in the, are situations which are very tricky. And the Rabbanim viewed, hey, if people are doing it anyway, this is not a battle to fight. There is a concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem watches over people. And even if they're doing something foolish, right? This is a potential sakana. But since the numbers are small, in such a scenario, you can't say that that's awesome. Should you avoid it? Sure. If your doctor tells you to do it, you have to refrain from that? Yes. That's different. But
doctors will tell you yeah. to smoke.
But this gives, like, you know, like people ask me, you know, you started with skydiving, bungee jumping. People should listen to that share, listen to this share. This really coming from two different perspectives. But from judging Shomer Pesayim Hashem, if the numbers are relatively small of people dying from skydiving accidents, people die from roller coasters. Hey, should you say, I can't go on a roller coaster? No. Seemingly the same thing. Everybody goes on roller coasters. There's a hetter. Could a person go skiing? This all is very, very relevant discussion. There's a, this concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem seems to give a hetter for all these things, assuming the consequences are not crazy. You know, yeah, the stats in general are good for skydiving, but when you go in Bulgaria, the stats are not exactly the same as if you go in America. Okay, take that into account.
So, like, if you do what's called base jumping, okay, base jumping is jumping with a parachute off the top of a building or off a bridge or something. It's only a 1 in 10 chance that you're going to get killed.
Only 1 in 10.
Only 1 in 10. Yeah.
No, but what about getting very injured?
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
Subway surfing.
I mean, that's probably what changed.
That's a big deal in New York.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What is that?
This nice guy from Michigan. You know all the city slicker stuff.
No, I don't.
Is he jump between two cars of a subway train?
No, that's not it. It's riding on top of the subway.
Oh, it's even on top.
Riding on top of the car.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. There's just enough space you can stay standing and jump in the water in the winter.
Yeah.
I assume what Ruve would be saying, Ramosha's answer would change because it's not just about death. It's about, you know, there's sakana. A person could just be sick for 20 years.
Yes.
What about some technologies? Flying. Is that possible?
Flying what? Being a pilot or being a flying airman? That's fine.
That's dangerous.
Right. Right? Look at the example. Right.
No stagers going to Yankee Stadium and rooting for the Red Sox.
Yes. Yeah. That's really foolish.
That's
what they're saying. Yeah. This is true. It's not a joke. I think someone just shot outside of Miami Dolphin Stadium.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, right. But in general, I think it gives us like a perspective that. Of course, I think we should all aim to be responsible and do things which are, you know, fit our mode of the best responsible ways we could act with our health, with our choices. But I think a share like this does provide a perspective. Oftentimes you see people that are not living life on the standard of safety that you would think is good for yourself, good for your children. And, you know, if it was up to you, you know, you tell them off, hey, what are you doing with your kids? What are you? You should know there's what to rely on. There's a concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Okay, maybe you wouldn't do that yourself, but there is a halachic basis, as long as it's not beyond the miyut, to allow for actions and behaviors which may not fit the goody-goody 100% line of safety and still be motor min ha-Torah. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.
Even by organ donors, remember Rabbi Sharfman gave the shear, it wasn't so much. I think it's even a das yachid we rely on to do it. Where is